Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Bowden Blitz SEC edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, week number 12 is on the horizon in the conference. Great slate of action this coming Saturday. But as we do, we turn back the clock. Death Valley was rocking last Saturday night, but the Tigers did not step up as 2.5-point underdogs to their arch nemesis, the Alabama Crimson Tide. Jalen Milroe had a dynamic performance, and Alabama wins it and keeps their college football playoff hopes alive. What a dominating road win over the Tigers.
Well, it was the Jalen Milroe show. I mean, 4 touchdowns, 185 yards, and he is a veteran quarterback. You walk into a stadium like that, Death Valley, and you're relaxed and you show poise. A veteran quarterback does that. He's played a lot of football games. And, you know, the more I watch him play, and I know early in the season he had some mistakes and some turnovers, but this guy looks like he has as much NFL talent as any quarterback out there. His running is just – it's off the charts, his running ability, and his throwing when he's hot. And running is what LSU didn't get done this year. When you look at LSU right now, why they lost, why they almost lost to Ole Miss, and they lost to two other games. In those games, they couldn't run the football. They put too much pressure on their quarterback. On their quarterback. Nussmeier. I don't know why I was saying Nussmeier, but Nussmeier. And they were one-dimensional in offense. The reason they've had a poor season with 3 losses, and they're upset with the season, they could not run the ball against Alabama or the other loss they had and put too much on their quarterback to have to throw it when the defense was knowing they were going to throw it.
And that was the matchup that you and I had discussed prior to the ball game on Saturday night. Alabama did have the more complete rushing attack, averaging 177 yards on the ground entering that ball game on Saturday night in Death Valley. LSU was only averaging 115 yards on the ground as a team, so they were going to need a better effort. But when you look at Jalen Milroe, in back-to-back years now, he has dominated the LSU Tiger front seven, 12 carries, 185 yards, 4 touchdowns. Alabama rushes for 311 yards on the ground, 6.5 yards per carry. And we saw a little bit of that a couple of weeks ago before this game played out. Marcel Reed comes on in the second half, right? Rushes for 62 yards, 3 touchdowns in Kyle Field in College Station to pull that matchup out over the LSU Tigers, where LSU had a 10-point halftime lead over Texas A&M. You would think that Blake Baker and that defensive staff would have a better effort on Saturday night. They just had no answers for Milroe and the rushing attack.
Well, if you think about Georgia the first half against Alabama, they really had no answer either in that first half, and that happens sometimes. But I just believe the quarterback is so dynamic, and Alabama has had more commitment to their running attack. And when they do kind of come up and stop the run, they can throw it enough to keep you honest on defense. And I think, again, that's the reason Alabama is playing their best football right now. Also, they're not getting penalties. They're not turning the ball over, and they're not having the miscues they had early in the season. I think they're playing their most complete football game team right now. and they're doing what, and whereas LSU is kind of going the other way. They have not run the ball. And to me, that's a lot to do in spring football, in preseason. You don't just have a running attack because you want to have one week. You've got to work on it in the offseason. You've got to have the right lineman there. You've got to have the right kind of backs there. And when you play with a quarterback that's not really that mobile and doesn't scramble for a lot of yards, you better have a solid running game, and they do not this year.
Well, that's where I want to go, and not to be critical of Brian Kelly, because in his first year, they win the SEC West. Now divisions are not a part of how we, you know, recognize conference champions or the top teams in the conferences, but he wins the SEC West his first year. Everything is poised. He does lose Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, and Brian Thomas, top draft picks in the NFL draft. But when you look at the skill perspective, that's not the concern, right? Kyren Lacy, one of the better wide receivers we see. Anderson step up. C.J. Daniels, a big play wide receiver that transferred in from Liberty. That Will Campbell, two of the best tackles, at least preseason, heading in to college football, right? So the offensive line was never a concern. It was more the defense. And early on, it looked like they had fixed that. So is it a recruiting issue at LSU or more of a scheme issue? Why the Tigers' defense just can't step up in big matchups?
Well, you know, you asked the lifelong question. Is it the Jimmys or Joes, or is it the X's and the O's? It's a little bit of, but I don't think they had the right X's, a complete number of Jimmys and Joes. You know, they lost a portal defensive player after defensive player, especially in their defensive line. I think that the Blake Baker, he came along and started doing a pretty good job, but that kind of settled down because I don't think they got the Jimmys and Joes. I don't think they got the talent they needed to get out of the portal. And then, like I said before, when you have a quarterback that does not run well, and you don't have a solid running attack where you pull guards and block down and you do a lot of blocking like that, you're going to have a trouble running the football against these good defensive teams.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out for Alabama. Iron Bowl on deck in a couple of weeks. That could be the make it or break it type of situation for the Crimson Tide to crack the college football playoff. An upset in the Grove at Oxford. 2.5-point underdogs to the Georgia Bulldogs. Well, that didn't matter. You could have spotted Georgia 7-14 points. Ole Miss rolls 28-10. Jackson Dart and the offense step up. But, Coach, this Ole Miss defense contained Georgia to less than 250 total yards in the game. That was a dominant effort Saturday afternoon.
Well, I was at the football game, and I will tell you, that atmosphere was electric. That team was phenomenal, and I'll be honest with you, I haven't seen a defensive front as talented as that team all year. They were just dominant on every phase of the ball. Dart outplayed Beck. The receivers, the defensive backs for Georgia couldn't cover the receivers in that game, and so they just kept on score moving and moving and moving the ball, and Georgia couldn't do a thing about it. So it was complete domination of their game. I don't know that LSU's home field was an advantage last week, but I was in this stadium. It was an advantage in Ole Miss for that game right there. But basically, and I think you saw their coach, Kirby Smart, say after the game, that was the most talented team he's played this year. They should be undefeated. After I watched them on the hoof, when I watched them in person, and I've coached a lot of football in the SEC, that is a very, very talented team that has to look back right now and say, how in the world did we lose to Kentucky and how did we lose two ball games?
Yeah, 3 weeks ago, we talked about how Georgia shut down the Texas rushing attack, holding them to less than 30 yards and 1.1 yards per carry. You look at this matchup, Georgia held well under 50 yards in the game, only 1.8 yards per carry, and to limit Carson Beck to 185 passing yards in the game, no touchdowns, and another critical turnover. That's a dominant effort in terms of the front seven and the secondary. And if you're Georgia right now, you have two losses on the year. You're fighting for your college football playoff lives. You need a better effort out of this offense. But more importantly, Carson Beck needs to step up.
Well, you know, again, it all goes together because you had the number one rush defense in the country at Ole Miss. And if you remember the game, they tried to run it. That Georgia tried to run the ball the first half. They couldn't make any yards, and so now they're throwing the ball in pass situations. In the second half, they came out and tried to roll out and move the quarterback out of the pocket to give him a chance, but they never could slow down. The defense could never slow down Ole Miss to get them close again. So, again, it was a case of just, I thought right now, that's a better athletic football team at Ole Miss than that is at Georgia.
sitting right here, entering week number 12, Georgia does have Georgia Tech, their arch rival. They also have the big game in Tennessee. If they win out at two losses, they're still good enough to make the college football playoff. They're 5-2 in the SEC right now. They need this game this Saturday against the Volunteers.
Oh, there's no question they got to have this football game. But I'm not used to seeing Georgia have two losses in one season, much less in a row. And so I think Georgia does respond. I think they still have enough of what they had when they were so successful in winning almost every regular season game that they'll come back and respond to this. But I say this, they don't have the talent they had in their championship years. They've got to do a little bit more. They've got to not just keep the guys they've got, but I think they've got to get the best possible players you can get in the country. Lane Kiffin has kind of shown us what this can do.
Absolutely. When Coach and I return, we'll break down those games on the docket for week number 12. Joe Lisi and Terry Bowden coming right back on the Bowden Blitz. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Terry Bowden diving into SEC action. Week number 12, no bigger game than the one taking place in Athens. Top-ranked Tennessee opens as a 9.5-point road dog over the Georgia Bulldogs. Georgia has won 7 straight in the series, the last 4 by an average margin of victory, Coach, of 22.5 points per game. Picked up this ball game last year in Knoxville, 38-10. But the Bulldogs were much more consistent, especially with their quarterback Carson Beck, to pull that matchup out on the road last year. They're going to need a much better effort Saturday afternoon against the Volunteers.
You know, you're exactly right. I've been talking for the last couple of games we've talked about. Georgia is not the national championship teams they were, but we're not talking about them winning the national championship. We're talking about beating Tennessee at home to get to the college football playoffs, and I can't see Georgia letting that one get by. It's a great home field advantage, a great place to play, and they are a better football team than they played last week. Now, still, though, Tennessee, not only are they moving the ball well in offense, they run the ball about 62% of the time, but they've got a top-10 defense, and so they're going to play the game really tough. I don't see them being less than 9 points, been closer than that in the final score, but I see Georgia bowing up and getting that bulldog out there, and I think they're going to play at home, and they're going to win the Grain State up. But I think Tennessee's going to play this game real close because they're playing really good football right now.
They are, especially defensively, holding opposing offenses to less than 3.7 yards per carry. They play solid third down defense, and they're starting to run the football much more consistently, especially now heading into this ball game. Dylan Sampson on Saturday night against Mississippi State rushes for 30 attempts, 149 yards on the ground, does hit pay dirt multiple times. He could catch the football out of the backfield. And you see their quarterback, Nico, starting to make some plays over the top. He was knocked out of that ball game. They held him out in the second half. Tennessee still prevailed 33-14. They get the win, but no cover over the Bulldogs. How do you expect their offense to attack Georgia after watching Jackson Dart and Ole Miss beat up the Bulldogs on Saturday afternoon?
Well, Tennessee, I've studied their offense so much. They spread you out from sideline to sideline, 53 yards apart, so you have to move your secondary out. That's why they can run so much. But the key is defenses fear the pass. Even if they're not passing as much as they run, defense have to line up to cover the pass. And, again, Georgia had a tough time covering Ole Miss in those crossing patterns all day. So I would see Tennessee wanting to get the crossing patterns in. But the biggest thing Georgia could do is maybe look at Georgia Tech not letting their offense on the field. Now, I don't think they need to run the football, but I think it's important to mix up the pass and the run. You can't just go out there and say, we're going to run it today. You've got to throw on first, run on second, decide on third, or run on first, throw on second, decide on third. You got to mix it up so you may give yourselves a chance with a great defense like Tennessee. And I think that's a mistake that Georgia did last week. They opened up the game trying to run, and they couldn't do it. But when they started to mix it up, they moved the ball a little bit better. I think you've got to do that against Tennessee because of the strong defense that they have.
It is. And when you watch the matchup play out against Jalen Milroe and the Alabama Crimson Tide about a couple of weeks ago, Alabama had a 7-0 halftime lead, but Tennessee was able to make halftime adjustments, shut down Tennessee's offense. The athleticism in terms of the RPO game wasn't there the way it was in the first half. And again, their defense forced three and outs against the Alabama offense. Can they do that now against Georgia? And that's what I want to ask you in regards to Carson Beck, because we brought it up multiple times now. He's not throwing he's not throwing touchdowns. He's throwing more interceptions than he is. So the risk reward is always there. Kirby Smart and this offensive staff, Mike Bobo, right? The former quarterback, right. He's played. He understands how to get a quarterback out of maybe a little rough patch. Do you open up the offense early on to get back into a rhythm, or do you feel like you played this game a little bit close to the vest, run it more, try to get it into the fourth quarter to make some plays against a very good defense? How do you see the offense of philosophy for Georgia?
Well, you know, let me say this. You mentioned Mike Bobo. He was playing at Georgia when I was coaching at Auburn again a long time ago. Hines Ward right before that, if you remember those days. But I think you've got to mix it up. I don't think if you come at Tennessee one-dimensional and you're saying, okay, we don't want Carson Beck to throw interceptions. So you got to mix the run in with the pass. But we saw what happened last week against a great run defense. You can't do it. Georgia doesn't have that good of a running attack. They did move the ball. They bootleg out to right, bootleg out to the left. I think you must move Carson Beck out of the pocket because, again, he's not a real dual-threat quarterback, although he's a strong runner. But you got to move him around, bootleg right, Neckens back and forth, and mix the run. Like I said before, run on first, throw on second, decide on third, or run on pass on first, throw on second, decide on third. Keep it mixed up so you have the defense kind of second guess you, because you want to be one play ahead. If you're not a dominant running team, you've got to want to run the football to keep the pressure up your quarterback, but you got to give him passes he can execute and he can complete without throwing the picks.
See, now, and that's where I think Georgia does attack. I think they might actually use a little bit of tempo to get back into an early rhythm, knowing that he's the more veteran quarterback and has made it and played in big matchups before. Yeah. There's more pressure, I believe, in this game on Nico and the Tennessee offense because it's predicated on the success of the rushing attack. Nico doesn't put up the same type of dynamic numbers over the course of the past couple of seasons that Carson Beck has. So knowing that you potentially have that veteran experience, do you see Bobo utilizing a little tempo to allow Georgia to jump up early and force Nico to play from behind?
Well, I think I saw that a little bit last week, how they weren't doing well at first of the game. And he changed his tempo. He changed his offensive style. They picked it up a little bit. And they did move the ball better in the second half against Ole Miss in the way they were playing football. But I think you got to do that. I want to go back to say this. The strength of Tennessee is on their defense. Their defense is a top 10 defense. And they spread their wide receivers out so far that you have to fear the passing game to the edges and to the vertical outside. And that's what you've got to do. You've still got to be able to stop the run because Nico has not been very accurate on the deep balls. And you've got to say, you know what, we're going to go stop the run and make him beat us with a deep ball. Opposite what people usually say, which is we're going to stop the deep ball and make him beat us with a run.
Tennessee only allowing 100 rushing yards per game, only giving up 2.8 yards per carry. So we'll see how it plays out Saturday night in Athens. When Coach and I return, we'll touch on the two biggest games remaining, Texas, Arkansas, LSU, and Florida coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on the Bowden Blitz, breaking down week 12 in the SEC, we turn our attention to the battle in Fayetteville. Top-ranked Texas opens up right now as a 16.5-point road favorite over the Arkansas Razorbacks. Last time Arkansas played was a couple of weeks ago. They got absolutely blown out by Ole Miss by 30 points, an extra week of preparation heading into this battle. They have won two straight in the series, Coach. Last time these teams played were back in 2021. We saw Texas dominate Florida as a 21.5-point home favorite, 49-17. Quinn Ewers, 333 yards, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. he plays like that, Texas might very well cover the 16.5-point number Saturday.
Yeah, they had 12 plays over 20 yards, too. It was the most explosive we've seen them. But they lucked into a third-string walk-on quarterback, and they were beyond getting touched by halftime. They had the game locked up. So it wasn't a true game that we have to look at. And I think you got to look at what Arkansas's got. They give you a different approach. You know, Texas has never done that well against dual-threat quarterbacks. I think Pavia at Vanderbilt was hurt, and he got 61 yards. But they're coming there against Talen Green, who's a dual-threat quarterback that can run and throw the football. And that's going to run the clock. I think you're going to see the same game plan we saw earlier and talked about earlier with Georgia Tech. An Arkansas team that's got a quarterback that can give Texas some fits and a thing that they haven't done a real good job stopping, so that they're not on the field long enough with all these explosive plays. Because their offense has got to be on the field to make big plays.
I agree. And Arkansas is another team, Coach, that's fighting for bowl contention. They have 5 wins on the year. Not a lot was expected in terms of preseason expectations. They had a win total right in the area of 4.5-5. Sam Pittman was on the hot seat entering this year, and all he does is step up as an underdog. When I see 16, 17-point underdogs at home, I think Arkansas can be live. They can run the football, very physical with the offensive line. Prior to last week against Jackson Dart, they were very good in terms of third down defense. They just ran up against a complete offense in Ole Miss, but I think they could be within the number, and I think the game might trend under the 55.5.
I'm with you on both points. I just think Arkansas is going to go out there and keep the score down low because they're going to have the football. Texas is ready to play for a championship, but I think Texas is going to beat this team. I think the talent level is that such that they're going to be able to win this thing. Too much offense, but it's going to hold different ballgame. I think Arkansas on those points, I'm taking those every time.
Have you been impressed with Texas? I know that they went in earlier in the year, got the victory over Michigan, snapped their 23-game home winning streak. Quinn Ewers has stepped up. But when you see certain games, especially a couple of weeks ago against Vanderbilt, Vanderbilt's good but not elite, obviously surprising this year. Do you feel like Texas is as complete as they were last year when they made it to the college football playoff?
I mean, Joe, I don't think anybody is totally complete. I'll be honest with you. I get so excited about one team, then all of a sudden they stink the next week and don't play well. I don't see anybody dominate from beginning to end. It's kind of made it exciting. I will say this, Texas is playing their best football right now. And so that makes the way you want to get better as the season goes along. That's why Georgia will have to play real well to get themselves moving that way. But if we're going to talk about the team that's, I mean, Oregon really is a team out there in the country that's playing hard, tough every week. But right now, we've got some teams in the SEC that are so talented. They've got so much talent on the field. You put them in the playoffs with playoff experience, and anything can happen.
We'll see. That game is an early kick, 12 o'clock in Fayetteville, Arkansas, 16.5-point dogs. Coach and I both like the Razorbacks in that matchup. We'll turn our attention to the Swamp, LSU and Florida. Florida getting beat up now due to the schedule. They're 4-5 overall. They need to win out in terms of the next 2 games to become bowl eligible. Coach, Billy Napier got the vote of confidence. They might meet a very angry LSU Tiger bunch. Brian Kelly still has a 700 winning percentage on the road or on a neutral field dating back to 2017. How do you see this one playing out, especially now since the LSU Tigers have been eliminated?
If you could tell me that Lagway's not going to play, and I don't think he will, that hammy, you know, those great athletes, those gazelle-type athletes, they don't recover from hammies very quickly. I don't know that he can, and I don't think Florida can beat anybody with that quarterback. I just don't think he's talented enough to let them win. So LSU, I think they're going to be the score will be dependent upon how, and it's too early in the week, really, to say exactly what they're going to do with their quarterback situation, because I think if Lagway's in there, you've got a much tighter ball game. And so still, I think LSU responds, because the hot seat that Napier was on, now you've got Brian Kelly on it right now, just as hot in Louisiana, because I live in Louisiana, and it's not very pretty down here. And so they're catching, holy heck. But I think LSU will respond, and they'll go out there and win the game. But Florida, I just don't think if they have to go to that third quarterback that they can go very far with it.
We'll see how it plays out. For Coach Bowden, I'm Joe Lieske. We'll see you next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.